Welcome into Baltimore Sports Today, the daily podcast from the Baltimore Sports Report Network. This is episode 320 for Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. I'm Zach Will from BaltimoreSportsReport.com, joined as always by my good pal, Jabby Burns. How are you, Jab?
Zach, I'm not as good as Andrew Miller.
Nobody's as good as Andrew Miller.
By the way, happy Tuesday to you as well. We were both talking in the bullpen how our weather, where we always have to talk about weather at the doldrums after baseball season. It is a glorious 80 degrees up here in the Charm City. Little humid for me, but I'm not going to bitch because we get 10 good days. As G Money has pointed out many times to me, we get 10 good days in Maryland, and I'm going to have to put this one as a chalk it up. So good for that, but I am not doing as well as Tito or, Andrew Miller or all those Indians, you know, taking care of business in Toronto. I'm very happy for that. The one thing I have to say as Halloween approaches, did you notice Trevor Bauer's finger last night?
Oh my gosh. It's nasty. Those drone related injuries, man.
And I was thinking of you as soon as I saw that. I'm like, well, Zach's got like 30 drones in his backyard. I mean, like, what? That's never happened to you. I mean, what's this guy doing?
I got a text from a friend of mine I used to work with about the injury, and it was like right after I got off the cruise, and he's like, hey, I saw Bauer's injury and thought of you. And I'm like, what the hell happened to Bauer? And then I read about it. I'm like, oh, God, that's awful.
There's another DraftKings thing? Oh, sorry. No.
Yeah, exactly. Like, man, that is awful. And that was nasty. And Twitter was just full of close-up pictures of how disgusting his finger was. But, hey, it ultimately didn't matter because the Blue Jays are one game closer to elimination, Jab.
Oh, I know. That's sad. And you know what? The good thing is they're good guys, and they'll stand up and talk to the media and do all the good things that the Blue Jays do in that really, really great clubhouse. Nope, that's the opposite. They decided they couldn't talk to the media for God knows what reasons. And, you know, we've had some of those beat writers on with us, too, in the past. I know that Bird's Eye View has had a relationship with one of the writers up there as well. And it just is so baffling to me when a team and a player, and we even going back to this weekend with Cam Newton, and I'm not going to stand on my horse and pretend I've been there and, oh, I don't understand, take that. But again, you're playing a kid's game, no matter what it is, no matter how much you're getting paid. And this, it's not, you think the media wants to ask you if this is the worst loss you've ever had, or why are you, you know, dropping fly balls in right field? Like, you know, do you think they want to ask these awkward questions? No, they're supposed to. And being somebody from your point of view, Zach, who's been in those rooms before, what is it like? I mean, people that you know, like, I mean, you've seen a lot of locker rooms. Like, give a perspective on like what that is like and how hard it is for the media member as well.
It's awkward and it sucks, and it's unfortunately your duty to do that. Some people, I will say, some people do it better than others. You know, there are a lot you do hear, especially in the playoffs, where it's like everybody's wearing a press credential. You know, if you've written one word about this team or about baseball, you're granted a press credential during the playoffs. So you do get a lot of questions where you're like, oh my gosh, really? Did somebody just ask that? But it sucks. I mean, the media doesn't want to ask that any more than the players want to answer it. Unfortunately, they've got a duty to perform, and depending on what you think, so do the players. So
yeah.
I loved, by the way, how the Indians, we didn't really talk about the whole circumstances thing in yesterday's show with Jose Bautista making excuses for why the Blue Jays were down 2-0, and now they're
rigged.
Down 3-0. But
Jose Trump.
I retweeted a tweet from the Indians' Twitter, which I thought was phenomenal. It was a poll, and the tweet said, "We've had sign stealing and circumstances. Poll, what will our opponent's next excuse be?" And they gave four options: deflated baseballs, clowns, Brangelina breakup, or Ken Bone. And Ken Bone won with 37%. Which I thought was phenomenal. This is outstanding Twitter by you, Cleveland Indians. Bravo. Good stuff. Yep. Way to make a mockery of this. And to go out there and win once again after this tweet was thrown out there at 12:30 yesterday. So
that's great.
I love it.
I like that they get some good creative people behind that. Is Avi Miller behind that Twitter? Is that what's going on over there with the Indians? Avi Miller's got a lot of teams on his plate, by the way. Like me some
Baltimore.
Avi Miller.
I think he lives in Boston.
Wherever. Yeah, moving to Texas, allegedly. So, oh well. I don't even know. No one knows him, and that's fine. The other thing real quick before we get to our topic today, I want to give a shout out to a local. I mean, not that I have to give a shout out to them, but Jeremy Kahn's a friend of myself,
yes.
A friend of Zach, and I know G Money put us onto this as well. I knew a little bit about this. If you're listening in the area and listen to 105.7 in the afternoon to Scott and Jeremy, they're great show. Zach's on there all the time talking Orioles. Some jerk from Hamden/Guilford calls once in a while, Jab. And they actually went out to a kid's school, a guy named Mo. This kid Mo's been calling in probably for a good, I call it little fella radio. He calls in around, I don't know, when the Orioles are playing, and does some shtick with Jeremy, who's just fantastic when those kind of events. And, you know, Jeremy's not a guy that's going to go out there and tell everybody what he's doing and stuff. Jeremy does a lot of stuff for MS. His wife has MS and has always had a lot of instrumental like races. And just, you know, Jeremy's actually one of the more, not just in radio, because there's a lot of awful people in radio. And Jeremy's one of the most like golden people I know. I put you and Jeremy in the same class, Zach. I would think about both of you guys and character wise and everything. And Jeremy went out to the kid's school, Mo, and Scott, the legend here in Baltimore, Scott Garsar, was also joined him as well. And went out there and just made the kid's day. And it turns out that the boy Mo is blind. I didn't even know this. Jeremy told me yesterday that he knew about it, but didn't think he wanted to bring it up. And yeah. I don't think it matters, but it just kind of adds to the story about how this kid who loves radio and actually had to give a radio, got a radio from a teacher so that he could listen to the radio, because he used to call Zach and then he would stay on hold so that he could listen to the show.
Wow.
So, and this kid's just fired up and he brings him to there. So I just want to give a shout out to those guys. If you haven't seen the link, yep, I have it on my Facebook and yeah. I think we've tweeted it out from BSR Twitter as well, but just a cool thing. And G-Money, thanks for, you know, checking in, because your dad sent me a great text yesterday just saying, you know, tell Jeremy what a cool thing that is. And that's the kind of things that Jeremy wants to hear behind the scenes, as opposed to, you know, having to put it out on the, you know, in the press.
Yeah, really cool stuff, man. That story was awesome. So kudos to those guys. And yep. Definitely check it out if you haven't already. Cool story. And nice that some people that, you know, you listen to and feel like are good guys really are good guys, like you said. So.
And then on the opposite end, Nestor is a terrible person. All right, so let's do this. Speaking of things that haven't gone very well or terrible things.
Yes.
Our boy Joe Flacco, you and I are big fans of, especially you even more than myself, but I've grown to like Joe. I don't know if it's that everybody hates Joe in this town and that makes me want to like him more. I don't know what it is. I think he's really underrated, but we got to talk brass tacks here. And we're not just beating up on him just because of what's happened in the last couple weeks here, because the Ravens, I still think, are in a pretty good position going into what I saw last night from the Jets team to go back to MetLife this weekend and beat a Jets team. With Big Ben out, if you really think about it, Zach, whether or not Big Ben was in, do you think that the Patriots have a pretty good shot of beating the Steelers? That's who they play this weekend without Big Ben and having Landry Jones in there. I really like the Patriots to beat then. And if the Ravens can take care of business against the Jets, as crazy as it sounds, Zach, going into the bye week, they'd be tied for the lead in the AFC North with two games still left with the Steelers. Right. So that's, you know, doom and gloom, of course, with everything going on. I think I saw enough to say there's a little bit more creativity in the offense against the Giants this past weekend. I think the defense was the problem more than the offense was. Would we agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
So, but that doesn't matter. The guy who's under center at Joe Flacco has, since 2012, and 2012, what a miracle year, really, right? They fire Cam Cameron. They bring in Jim Caldwell right after the Redskin game down there, where they sent RG3 to his early grave. Haloti Ngata did. And then now, you know, and look back now, Zach, since that year, since the Super Bowl run, since Joe was 11 touchdowns, no interceptions on a great run after they beat the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl, Joe Flacco is, as a team, and this is not just him, but as a team, the Ravens are 24-24 since that Super Bowl under both Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh.
Yeah. Yep. 24-24. And, you know, the thing that we continue to talk about, too, that I continue to point up is, despite a shortened season last year, you know, due to the injury, and I think a lot of people look at what Flacco's done in 2016 and kind of chalk that up to coming back from, you know, a season-ending injury. Joe Flacco was not good in 10 games, you know, leading up to his season coming to an early end. Yep. So this is a trend that predates the injury even. This is a trend that started, you know, and I think after signing that deal, I mean, would you say that it's kind of gone downhill even since 2012 after signing that deal, 2013, 2014 as well? It's certainly clear in 2015 that his numbers have gone down. So, you know, how much of signing the big contract do you put on the blame for Joe Flacco's potential decline here, Jab?
I don't think I don't know Joe, but just from what I've read and from some of the things I don't think money's that big of a deal to Joe. I think Joe Lynch, to his agent, did a fantastic job. And really, think about it. They actually played, if you remember what happened, if Joe doesn't win that Super Bowl this whole narrative of Joe Flacco being on the Ravens might not even be here at this point, because remember, at the end of the year, he was going to end up being a free agent. Let's say if Ray Lewis doesn't retire, right, or announces his retirement, the Ravens go into that playoffs. Remember, they had to take a miracle in Mile High to get through that game to go to New England, which they always seem to play well in New England up there to win that game. But just think about if that totally changes and Joe Flacco doesn't win the playoff game, loses to the Colts, let's say, in the first round, what happens there? They basically gambled saying, we're going to play this out and see what happens. And Joe put on a performance, you know, unlike anybody other than Joe Montana, maybe, in the playoffs. So I don't think it's about money, Zach. I think it's more about the fact that two things for me. The offensive line has been awful since the Super Bowl. I don't care how many times you change it. I just remember that year that I think they were ranked by Pro Football Focus as like the worst running, and that was the year Ray Rice had his awful year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was 13, and then, you know, going into 14, we don't know what happened with him, but the offensive line has been bad. Another thing that I think kind of attributes to this, Zach, is the offensive coordinators, and I asked you this earlier, is this an offensive coordinators that they've been through five offensive coordinators since 2012?
Last with five the new seasons. One being,
yeah. Five seasons, right? Yeah. Five seasons. And is this more on the fact that, like, maybe Joe is Joe the offensive coordinator killer, or is it the offensive coordinators that are done? Now, listen, let's be fair. Kubiak left and got a head coaching job with Denver. So he left for another job. But the other guys have been fired. So, and I guess Caldwell got a job with there. So you could actually give credit to Joe, I guess, as we're talking out loud here, that these guys are getting jobs because of it. Because I can't really imagine the Ravens offense hasn't been so great, that offensive coordinator. It's not like the San Francisco West Coast offense tree that, you know, they have all those guys coming off there. It's right. Interesting how that works out. So for me, there's two things. Continuity, I think, with offensive coordinators. I think the offensive line has been bad. And let's be honest, have they had a receiver outside of Anquan Boldin in the last 5 years?
No, I don't think so. And I think it all kind of spells, you know, an inconsistency, right? I mean, the fact that they've got to change these philosophies so often. And, you know, and I wonder if some of this can be put on John Harbaugh too, because, you know, bringing in Caldwell and Kubiak, while it worked out well for both of those guys, the Ravens end up getting, you know, 1 year out of each of these guys. And then they've had three other coordinators since then as well. So is this a problem of, you know, not finding somebody that can mesh, that isn't going to, you know, if the team is halfway successful, become a head coach the next year? I understand that, you know, you want these guys to be promoted and get their opportunities, but maybe, you know, grabbing former head coaches that could leave the next year isn't the best solution for your offense, and specifically Joe Flacco, who just has not had any consistency over the last 5 years. Maybe that's something that needs to be addressed. I'm with you on the offensive line. It's been terrible. That's been inconsistent. The guys that Joe Flacco can throw to, I feel like, haven't been the same really since Anquan Boldin left too, you know. I even think the impact of losing Torrey Smith was bigger than they expected it to be. Yeah. So all of this just spells a lot of inconsistency and a lot of ups and downs and a lot of changes for a position that I think, and a guy that I think, could use a little more consistency.
Absolutely. And speaking of consistency, Joe, or Zach, over that same span that we're talking about, after the 2012 season, the Super Bowl season for the Ravens, Joe Flacco was thrown 87 touchdowns and 60 interceptions.
Wow.
I mean, that's not really that good. I'm sorry. That's only 17 more touchdowns. And I don't want to go to the money situation, because everybody can in this town will point to, kind of like they do with Chris Davis, I never get into other people's pockets, that Joe's one of the most highest paid quarterbacks. That, again, that's a circumstance of what has happened, why he got up for his deal as well, right? So do you think that the Albert Pujols, you think that the Angels want to pay Albert Pujols 10 years, whatever they ended up paying him? Do you think that the Red Sox wanted to pay David Price that price? No, that's the going rate. So money never really factors in for me. But if you're going to be a guy who's going to take up a high percentage of the salary cap in the NFL, that's the difference with the salary cap, and you're performing along these lines, and then you look up front and you got no receivers, your defensive secondary is getting older by the minute. I don't know. I mean, you can restructure his deal as much as possible, but at some point, as you continue to kick the can down the road, Zach, it's going to come back to haunt you, and I think that's what's happened. And I think the other thing that's come into this whole deal, and this has nothing really to do with Joe Flacco, but I went back and looked at the drafts, and I'm no draft guru by any stretch. I follow the MLB draft much more than I do the NFL draft, but I know where players come from, and I watch a lot of college football. they have had, I think they've had just an awful, they've done an awful job in drafting. And that's one of the things where you're trying to build, if you're going to go with these older players, right? You're going to play with these older players. You have to have inexpensive, younger, hungry guys behind them that can fill in if things go down, if Steve Smith goes down, if, you know, Terrell Suggs goes down. Because this team was old to begin the year, Zach, and everybody was excited on paper how they could feel. But right now, that's really hurting them, which puts a lot of pressure, which comes back to my whole here as we're doing a huge U-turn here. It all goes back to maybe a little bit more, too much pressure on Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And you know, I think some people may say, well, if you want to be paid that highly, you know, you should be able to handle the pressure. But if you're not surrounding him with pieces that can make him succeed, then you know, it's never really going to work. And I think that's definitely true, and I think it's an aspect of this team that a lot of fans have kind of overlooked, because traditionally they have done so well in the draft. But you know, when you're not able to surround your quarterback with actual weapons that he can use. And, you know, I think the flip side of that argument is guys will look at the pieces that, you know, like a Tom Brady will have, and he'll and traditionally a Peyton Manning will have, and he will make, you know, certain players look like stars, you know.
Right.
And that's just not the type of quarterback Joe Flacco is. But hardly anybody else is, right? I mean, we're talking about two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time being able to do that. I don't think that's the case, you know, anywhere else in football, right? So that's not necessarily a fair argument to put against him.
Absolutely not. I also got their money here too, Zach, real quick here, for the 2016 season, what guys are making. Andrew Luck, my boyfriend, he's making a little, you know, nice chunk of change, Zach. Yeah, I know you go to the bank every 2 weeks and you say, Gander, what Mickey Mouse puts in there for you, but does it ever say $24,549,000?
A lot less zeros.
Yeah, so Andrew Miller's making just shy of 25 million, sorry, not K. Oh, God. Carson Palmer comes in right behind him at 24, Drew Brees, 24, and then comes our boy Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco this year is going to the bank, and every time he goes there, he sees $22,133,333. It's amazing to start looking at these numbers, but you look at these quarterbacks and what these guys are making. And I imagine, I don't know what the salary cap is in the NFL, but I know $22 million is probably pretty big, and I know that's not what it's against the cap. That's just what he's getting this year against the cap. I think they ended up moving his money back again before the season started. I think he was like a $14 million hit against the cap this year. This was the big year they would have had to do that. So I think they were able to restructure it, move it back a little bit. And it just comes, like I said, it just comes when you come up for it's your turn, right? You know, if it's your turn to get it. The one here that makes me crazy is Ryan Tannehill's making $20 million. That makes me crazy because he's just hot garbage. Kaepernick's making $19 million. Cutler, and you start going down the line here. So that's where they're at there. I want to talk about Joe this year, though, if you're okay with that, yeah. Zach. I'm going to transition because we're kind of beating him up since 2012. And again, it's a lot of factors. We're not saying it's all his fault. At least I'm not. I'm just saying that we have to start looking at this legitimately, because everyone wants to throw around and wear shirts that say elite. Well, you know, maybe that moniker should be stayed for those who are the actual elite, in that Tom Brady's, in my opinion, Ben Roethlisberger's, and some of these guys that, you know, have done it on a big stage and continue to do it throughout their years and their career. And speaking of a guy that they like to always bring up with Joe is Matt Ryan. One Matt Ryan. If you look at it right now, and I know Lindsey Okay is going to have a tough time with this, but Matt Ryan's rate right now, which is an absurd rate in a quarterback rating, is 118. Matt Ryan's thrown for 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's number one overall in the rating. I'm going to have to go all the way down here, Zach, and I'll keep going when I get past your Tannehills, your Keenums, your Blake Bortles, who I like, but he's down there. There's Joe Flacco, number 27th overall, Zach. He has a quarterback rating of 78. Basically, let's give him 79. 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't been good.
Nope.
Has not been good. The NFL salary cap this year, by the way, is $155 million. $270,000. That's the salary cap this year.
Wow. That's a nice Googling. Chunk. That's a nice chunk for, you know, and again, I don't think it's 14. I think it's a little bit less than that. But they're still the Ravens. I to give their credit, and I think every team has to do. The Ravens use every single cent of that cap to try to get these team better. And you know, I think Dick Cass and I think some of the other brass over there do a fantastic job of making it happen. But when you got a big chunk of change there, and he is your quarterback, and he has 5, and there's guys like, you know, Ryan Tannehill's and some Case Keenum's ahead of your elite quarterback who's making $20 million a year, $22 million a year. I mean, you're going to have to take the criticism as well, because I know Joe's a great dude. The one thing that I will say that I think is the most just the most asinine thing of this, there's people that are in the media, Zach. I'm not just talking about donk callers, but people in the media, former GMs that have said that he's spending too much time with his family. I'm sorry. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because a guy had 100 kids. Take a look at what Philip Rivers has been doing, and he pops kids out every 15 minutes. The guy's going to be a future Hall of Famer on one of the worst franchises in football history. I don't think the kids are the problem, Mr. Serrato.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Yeah, interesting.
Can Joe turn it around? What can Joe do?
Look up, also some Googling I was doing while you were talking was Ravens drafted players, right? I mean, it's a list of a lot of guys that you know, you potentially have some expectations for and just kind of haven't quite stepped into that starring role that we've seen over the past couple of years, right?
Yeah, well, how many times do we hear after the draft, right after, fresh after the draft, which is a hot take, you know, hot take Sunday, Monday, whatever it is after, the Ravens had a B, hey, Ravens had an A draft. I mean, when was the last time you saw the Ravens with a D grade from your boy Mel Kiper? Now, he couldn't be more biased because he lives in a basement in Dundalk basically here, and he's a Baltimore guy and loves the Ravens. But some of these other guys, even the McShays and some of these other more analytical guys, have really put high grades on the Ravens draft. I think it's based on what they've done in the past. Because how do you know about a draft the day after a draft, even a baseball draft? I can't tell you, you know, I could tell you that I think Dansby Swanson was going to be a superstar player, and, you know, maybe he will be, maybe he won't, but that's a 1-1 player, as opposed to this fourth rounder out of, you know, Boise that you don't know anything about, but that you think, oh, you know, that he'll fit in well in their system.
Yeah. Well, it also seems like kind of heavy defensively, right? I mean, they chose Ronnie Stanley, obviously, number one with their first pick this year, but then, you know, they chose a defensive end and a cornerback with their next three picks. Chris Moore was their next offensive player.
He's been a disappointment so far.
And you know, the year before, Breshad Perriman, who didn't play all last year, and they got Max Williams, and then they went defensive tackle, defensive end. So
who were those guys? Who were the defensive tackles?
Carl Davis.
He's good from Iowa.
And Za'Darius Smith.
Okay, now Za'Darius was supposed to be, was that the guy from Notre Dame, I think?
He's from Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. Oh, that's right. And then Davis is from Iowa. Davis has been a contributor up front. They've actually done a good job of drafting linemen, defensive linemen, you know, linebackers. C.J. Mosley's a good pick for them as well. But, you know, Jimmy Smith still, I think the jury's still out on Jimmy Smith at this point, not just because of what he does on the field, it's staying on the field. Right. Jimmy Smith's a great player. When he plays, he's awesome. We talked about it yesterday. He held Odell Beckham down 2 catches, 11 yards, and he goes out with a concussion. Next thing you know, Odell Beckham is Jerry Rice. I don't know. There's not enough impactful players, I guess I would say.
Right. Yeah.
And like you said, how many offensive impacted players? I mean, how many tight ends can the Ravens draft for Joe?
And his boy Pinnis last year, Crockett Gilmore the year before.
Yeah, and Gilmore can't stay off the HGH. So it's like, well, what are you going to do? Like, and I know that's not the Ravens' fault that these guys happen and injuries do happen, but I mean, Pinnis playing with two shredded hips.
They just haven't hit it. They haven't hit a home run in a while. I mean, they need a home run offensive player that can step in here and really be a weapon for Flacco, and they have not found that guy the past few years. So,
are they getting older, in your opinion? Are they getting younger?
The team?
Yeah, just like the overall team. Because you got a window with Joe, too. Let's not get crazy because, you know, Joe's only 31, I think, 30, 31. So I'm not saying that he's going to go away. Yeah. He's going to be the quarterback here for a while. But you know how this town is and how fickle they are with, you know, they wanted to fire the manager because he didn't bring in the closer, for God's sakes, at a tie ball game. I mean, it's going to get louder. And it sounds like this owner hears a lot of this stuff, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he does. I tend to think more than anything, these sorts of things fall first on the head coach, right?
Yeah.
He
gets a lot of passes, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he does get a lot of passes. And the issue is, you know, when you talk about track record, is that Ozzie's track record is longer than Harbaugh's track record, right? So when you've got a GM who's, you know, a Hall of Famer and who has traditionally drafted well, he can, you know, point to the fact that maybe you're not getting the most out of these players that I've drafted, as opposed to maybe these players aren't quite up to the level of the players that I was drafting, you know, a decade ago. So
correct.
Maybe that's the difference. I don't know. I'm not sure because this could very well be an Ozzie thing. It could be an Ozzie and a Harbaugh thing. It could be an Ozzie and a Harbaugh and a Flacco thing. You know. in all likelihood, just like everything else in sports jab, we always try to point to one player, one moment, one reason for everything kind of unraveling. That it got to point the blame on one thing.
Yeah, somebody's got to take the blame, right?
It's usually always in multiple things, right? Did the Orioles lose the wild card game because Zach Britton didn't play? Well, that's the reason everybody's pointing to.
Correct.
I tend to think that the offense being garbage in that game was also a contributing factor in this.
Yes, it might have been. So. Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. So it is a lot of factors. I don't think this season's far. I think this season's far from done.
Absolutely.
Especially with, you don't know what's going on with Big Ben. I mean, Big Ben, knowing him, that big oaf will come out of surgery, get on his bike.
We talked yesterday about the mediocrity in the NFL, right? Oh, I mean, the Ravens are not in a spot at all where they're out of it because they're a 500 team after six games. You know,
well, let's look at the schedule.
Not at all.
They should beat the Jets Sunday. Let's say that they – I don't know. The line's not out yet. I'm going to guess based on where it's at. This is going to be like a 1.5. This is one of those games that's basically going to be close to a pick 'em just because the Jets are at home, though I think Geno Smith might be getting the start because, gosh darn, Ryan Fitzpatrick's just pathetic. Cut that beard, you big stupid. Then they get that bye week, which I think comes at a really, really good time for them. Get a bye coming off those two things. If they get that win and the Steelers do lose to the Patriots, which, you know, if you just go by the odds makers and based on what I've seen from the Jets, they're the same record. And coming out of the bye week, guess who they play? They play the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers are going to be without Big Ben. I don't care how big that big oaf is going to be. I don't care. You shoot him up. They got to keep him out probably another week. If you're having surgery on your knee, there's no chance you're playing in 2 weeks, in my opinion. But maybe I'm wrong. And even if he is, who cares? He's there, right? And then you get the Browns at home, and I don't know how this is. Oh, it's a Thursday night game, another awful Thursday night game. Yeah. But you get the Browns at home, so you should win that. So there's a possibility that the Steelers and Browns are home games as well for the Ravens. They could rattle off three straight games in a row and all of a sudden put themselves in the driver's seat in the AFC North, and we could have just a completely different narrative, you know, as we go into like the Thanksgiving. You know, and after that, they go to the Cowboys. They get the Bengals at home, which aren't very good. They got the Dolphins at home, not very good. Going to lose at the Patriots. Eagles at home, and I think the Eagles are kind of come back to earth. And then you got at Steelers, at Bengals at the end of the year. It's conceivable the Ravens could get to that 10 wins that we thought, the 9-7 that we thought. And right now, you would think that the Ravens are like 2-14.
Yeah, I know. It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and again, I like I said, the only chalk ups, the only thing I know in the NFL this year is anybody can beat anybody. Just take a look at the lines. I follow trends. I follow all the things. Just look at anybody can beat anybody every single week, and no one's going to beat the Patriots. Those are the things that I know in the NFL. That's the only team that you can really trust right now, I think, in the NFL. A lot of people are saying Cowboys, and maybe so, based on their offensive line, based on what Elliott's done. But they're just still going to have a big decision coming up here, Zach, and they're going to bring back that old fossil Tony Romo and kind of, you know, mess up the apple cart. What's the deal?
That's
do you
right.
lose your job? Do you do whatever you do there? Dak's been pretty good at quarterback. But
everybody will be talking about that this week. Yeah,
and I think it has a lot for it. I think Tony Romo can hand off behind that mammoth offensive line as well. Plus, he'll be able to kind of sling it a little bit better than Dak as well. So I like Tony Romo. I think it's smart for them to go back to him. But either way, if you had to pick teams right now, you would say New England, and who are they playing?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, if you had to pick on the other side, you don't know what's coming out of the other side.
Nope. What we were all real high on Green Bay, and all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is like
he's got to break up with that chick.
Awful.
I'm telling you. That mom, I'm telling you.
Hey, before we wrap up, I wanted to mention a story that I just saw on Twitter again and meant to bring up earlier today. While we're handing out kudos to you know, celebrities in Baltimore and stuff like that.
I don't have to, Zach. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Can we give some kudos to one of my favorite companies, Under Armour?
Oh, yeah.
Who just signed a deal to provide game uniforms for Major League Baseball.
How steamed up are you going to get to get an Oriole Under Armour on there?
Oh, my goodness.
Sweatshirts. You need another sweatshirt, don't you, Zach?
I always need another Under Armour hoodie.
I think I sent that over to you, or did somebody send that over to me? How did that?
I think
we saw that yesterday.
Sent it to both of us.
That's what it
That's
was.
Where I first saw it.
Money is on the tip of everything. Does that guy work anymore? It's a great deal, great partnership, not only for the company itself, but also I think it's also going to help grow the brand. If you haven't heard about it now, I think it's crazy, but I think it's going to be great. I think it's awesome. I'm happy for them. I want to see some of that gear come out too. I'm very stoked for that.
Man, me too. This is awesome. And this is an enormous deal. I think people forget that Under Armour is just 20 years old. I mean, it is not this brand that's been around for, 50 years, 100 years, whatever. This is a young company, big exposure, Baltimore based, which I have to remind a lot of people here in Florida when I see people wearing Under Armour gear. Because even the store here, Jeb, in Orlando, the one that's actually at Disney Springs, has their bags have the Maryland flag on it, and I think a lot of people forget that this is a Maryland company with Maryland roots that is freaking proud to be a Maryland company, which I totally love. So this is super exciting. Prior to this, the prospects at the NFL Combine were wearing Under Armour stuff. They were a title partner at the NBA Draft Combine, but actually being the company that, where they'll be wearing their stuff on the field, that's huge. I mean, that is a really, really big deal. So I'm looking forward to it. That'll be awesome. And we're
thinking about the Oriole stuff that they're going to be able to pull together.
I know. Oh, it's going
to
be great.
I mean, because, they'll try to tailor it to the Orioles, even more. Now they're going to have every team, of course. I think the other one that was big for when Under Armour landed Notre Dame, and maybe they're annoying to a lot of people, but that's a brand that everybody knows. And when you start getting those kind of programs and you start seeing them on the college football Saturdays, you start seeing that, and just kind of it lends itself to getting bigger. I think the two biggest guys that they got to start this off with, as annoying as he is, but you got to remember Tom Brady is one of the first guys to come to go with Under Armour. They had Cam, they got Bryce, they got Jordan Spieth, who I think from the golf side has been fantastic. And then obviously Steph Curry in the NBA. And now that they're just coming in and now they're branding, now they're just basically become a giant. I think Reebok should really get out of the way. I think Nike's probably starting to look over to their shoulder a little bit now, even more than thought of before. Phil Knight's not happy. And the cool thing about it, and I don't know Kevin Plank from anything, but I just know this story. He came back one time from a trip and he didn't have enough money to pay for a toll on the way back. That guy grew that company right out of his basement. Props to him for that.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Very cool stuff. So looking forward to that. And I'm sure we'll get more details. We got a little bit of time. We got a few more years left, but
I'm sure
we'll get some details.
I think I'm going to send another resume over there too, Zach. I only send one like every 15 minutes, but maybe on the baseball side of things. Oh, I'd be so stoked to do that.
That'd be pretty awesome. Because
they're going to probably have guys be like the representatives for each team too, because you got to get all the gear in there, figure out how the uniform's going to work. And I would imagine they're going to start that thing. I probably already started that thing. If they're, 2020 they said it begins?
2020.
You're going to see the prototypes leaking, everything. You like when the Star Wars Star Wars trailers are leaked. I want to see the gear released. I want to see some leaks.
I like it both. I like that too.
Hey, speaking of that, is there Star Wars this Christmas?
Yeah, man. Rogue One.
Rogue One. All right.
Rogue One.
I got to take Ms. Burns to this one because last time I didn't go over well.
I know.
She doesn't bring it up though that much.
Drop the ball on that one. Rogue One. Man, the trailer looks incredible. It's awesome. Oh. Looks awesome.
You're fired up.
Looks awesome.
Now, are they going to do some stuff down at the Disney too? Is that part of your gig down there too?
I'm sure there will be more Star Wars coming. I don't know anything, but I'm sure we'll see some Rogue One related stuff. That'd be cool.
Fired up.
Yeah, man.
Just keep Miss Wild away from that one guy that didn't like her when we were taking pictures.
Yeah, Kylo. I know. She was scared of Kylo. Rightly so.
No one wanted to take him out, but it's fine.
All right, Jabby Burns, we got Wacky Wednesday tomorrow. Are you ready?
Yes, we do. We got kind of wacky today. And listen, we're wacko for Flacco on this show. We like Joe Flacco. We just have to kind of keep it, we got to keep it straight. That's what we do here. Whether it's good or bad, we beat up on everybody but Buck Showalter.
I was going to say, I think we spread the blame around pretty good on this show.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we blame Patrick Guthrie all the time.
Yep. He's not here to defend himself. So
that's what we do it.
Exactly. All right. Good talking to you, my friend.
You too, pal.
For Jab, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Today. Enjoy your Tuesday. Talk to you again tomorrow.